WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Doug Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. The following is a special presentation of the Beaver Radio Network. It's time for the huddle at the Tavern of South Shore. Each Wednesday, get into the huddle with Beaver coaches and student athletes. The huddle is Beaver football.
And shotgun snap looks to pass into the corner of the end zone. Wide open, underthrown, but caught. Touchdown, Bemidji State. Touchdown to Brendan Bolio. Bolio, his second touchdown of the season. Just a fade right down the far sideline.
The Tavern on the South Shore, where Lakeside meets your hungrier side. The huddle is the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Tavern on South Shore for the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Schulze and Biss tonight. Kella's not doing a wedding dress tonight, but she is not here.
No Kel.
Tonight.
All right.
Beaver football last weekend. What a game that was. The Beavers were 38-28 winners over Wayne State. Brandon Ault, the sophomore quarterback for the Beavers, threw for 400 yards roughly in the first half. 460-some for the game, threw for 5 touchdowns. Named the Northern Sun Conference Offensive Player of the Week because of it. And his direct position coach, Carson Pike, is joining us tonight here at the Tavern. Carson, welcome. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
To say that Brandon Ault had a good game would be an understatement. Did anything you saw on Saturday surprise you?
Honestly, not really. Brandon's obviously been through some adversity in his time with us, but what he's done on the practice field, I think it's 8 quarters or 10 quarters within the 2 seasons prior, it did not surprise me.
He got hurt in game 2, his first year. I'm not even going to go by freshman or sophomore years because he's still listed as a sophomore. His first year he played 2 games, got hurt. His second year he played 1 game, got hurt. Last year nobody played because of COVID. A guy that's been here that long and has only had to really be watching film can be difficult. How has he personally been able to get through that?
You know, the way he handles adversity is pretty incredible. To go through his surgeries, physically get himself ready, and then on top of mentally prepare, you really watched him mature as a man, as a football player, and put himself in position to do what he's doing and be the leader of our team.
Why don't you fill us in on you personally? Some of the folks here and listening might not be familiar with you. Where did you, I guess, play? Where did you go to school, and how did you get to Bemidji State?
So I actually grew up in Golden, Colorado, played high school ball there, and then made my way to Brainerd, Minnesota, Central Lakes College, which is where I played and then started coaching. And right when I got done with my undergraduate degree, I was fortunate to work for Coach Bolte the first time. So I got a graduate assistant job on the defensive side of the ball, working under Coach Bolte and Coach Yonner at the time. Learned a lot of football and then kind of ventured off for 5.5 years working at a couple different places, a high school, Aspen, Colorado, and Iowa Western Community College. And then when Coach Bagnell got the head job at University of Mary, Coach Bolte gave me a call and asked if I'd come back, and I jumped at it.
So that was what year did you arrive back?
That would have been January of 18, I believe.
Okay, so you've been with Brandon the entire time as his position coach?
Yep, he redshirted 1 year prior to me coming, but then in his eligibility years, yes.
And you started, you said, as a GA on the defensive side of the ball, but now what is your official, obviously quarterback coach, but Anything else?
Offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah. Offensive coordinator. Well, you're in charge of it all then.
That's right. That's right.
So you were on the defensive side for a little while. What did you play positionally?
I did play quarterback.
So all right.
Switched over to defense. Just a great opportunity, a great program, and I think it was able to broaden my horizons a little bit, learn a little bit about their rules, what the way they approach football and attacking offenses. And hopefully I think that helps me in how I prepare and prepare our guys.
You look at this current Beaver staff, Jordy Hine played quarterback here. He's the special teams coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be versatile to be a coach, but if you play quarterback, you obviously know how to read a defense, so you should be able to coach a defense. Is there any positions, any coaches that doesn't really have the ability to flip, for lack of a better term?
You know, I think offensive line and defensive line, particularly because I'm an offensive coach, offensive line is very unique. And it's probably a very tough position to coach if you haven't played it. I'd argue quarterback is the same way with the speed of the game and things that they have to control out there. But I do think being a college quarterback, you know, Coach Hine's a good example of it. You can diversify yourself having been in charge, so to speak, of a huddle and what all those guys are supposed to be doing and the knowledge you should have inside and out of offense and both defense.
So as the offensive coordinator, obviously you're involved with the play calling, and what's the dynamic with you and Coach Pulte then? Is he hands-on, he wants to make the play calls, or are you making the play calls and he'll just chime in when he feels the need?
You know, fortunately, Coach Pulte's pretty good to me. He doesn't bother me much on the headset, just occasionally, but most of the time he's flipping over, he's asking for us to be aggressive and giving us four downs to go for it when we get in that midfield range, flips over and says, hey, you got two calls here on third down, which makes my life a lot easier. You know, last season we played, we were first in the conference in fourth down attempts and first in the conference in fourth down conversion rate. And when you give an offensive coordinator, you know, those opportunities, it really puts the defense on their heels, I think, because now third medium we can call run plays or RPOs. Now play actions are going to work on third down, you know, and it's just that confidence in our group of guys, in myself from Coach Pulte. But no, he's great to me.
So unless there's a penalty or something or an injury or something like that, there's 40 seconds between the end of one play to the time you have to snap the ball or it's delay a game.
Yep.
When you have a Del Duncan Busby and an Andrew Manueli and a Malik Williams and a Bryce Bubba Peters and a Brandon Bolio and a Bryce Duffy and all of those receivers, and then you throw in a Sage Booker and a Mikael Harn who can certainly run the football, how far ahead are you thinking of, is it going to be run, is it going to be pass, and how do you determine which weapon you want to utilize right now?
That's a good question. At times I don't think I do enough sharing the football, but fortunately I have Brandon Aull, and we talk in our room about being a point guard, so to speak, of the offensive unit and distributing that football. You know, in our pass game, it's all progression reads, so it's really coverage dictated who's going to be open, as long as the quarterback does his job. And then even in the run game, we're using a variety of RPOs, so two to three guys could touch the football in any play. So with that being said, it makes my life really easy. I wouldn't say it's as easy as throwing a dart at the call sheet and letting it rip, but those guys have made it that easy thus far.
Well, it's like a science these days for you to get the play call in. You got all sorts of signage and signals and all of that, and it's all something you've got to do in a matter of seconds, right?
It is. It is. Communication between me and the signalers, getting that to our players, the quarterback communicating to our O-line. When I was coaching high school ball, I teased the principal a lot. I said, I think they should get a foreign language credit for playing football.
What about the quarterback as far as you know, being able to audible? I'm assuming they have that ability, but how often do they do that?
Yeah, not so often yet this year, but we certainly give them the tools. They have a 7-10 play check two system they can get to if they were seeing cover zero blitz or getting out of a bad play protection wise. and they can always manipulate the protection. So I think that really grows as the athletes within the program, right? A first-year starter has a little bit less on his plate. A guy who's been here 4 to 5 now, even though hasn't played a ton yet for us, certainly has more controllables out there.
Carson Pike with us, offensive coordinator for the Beaver football team. The Beavers will travel to Minnesota State Mankato this Saturday. Our Budweiser pregame show at 3:30, kickoff at 4 o'clock. When you have a receiver in Brennan Beaulieu who's 6'3", 210-ish, he can jump through the roof if you were playing inside. How much easier does that make Brandon Ault's job? Just chuck it up and let him jump up and go get it.
It is incredible to have Brandon Beaulieu. Obviously, him and Ault played together in high school, so they already came in with chemistry. But that guy's, and I don't mean this in any sort of bad way, but our safety net. You know, if there's any time in a game we really need to get going, we look to Brendan. He'll go up and make a play. He's even keeled. The moment is never too big for him. And I think Brandon Ault understands that and leans on him quite a bit.
A couple of years ago, when every quarterback was hurt, Brennan Beaulieu played quarterback for about the last 3 games. Did you know he could do that?
So he actually played a little in his junior year in high school, so it wasn't totally unfamiliar to him. But certainly at the time, now it's maybe him and Brandon Ault tied, he knew our offense as good as I did. And so that trust in him, no matter what it may have looked like getting there, allowed me to put him in there and him to do a lot of good things. I mean, he had a huge part in the Augustana upset at homecoming, throwing for a touchdown, you know, had to run the ball between the tackles even, and then still go out and play receiver and make some big catches out there. Life's easy when you got a guy like that. I get texts from him most every night of him watching film, what he's seeing, what he thinks I'm seeing, and how we attack things, and those guys make life easy.
Well, you've had 2 games so far, and both of them you've gotten up and had leads. And in both of them, the other team had something to say about it and made it interesting, although maybe not as interesting like Sioux Falls did this past weekend. As an offensive coordinator, is it difficult when you've got a larger lead as to your play calling? Do you change your philosophy? Is it obviously, that's where you want to be in a game, is to have a big lead. That's right. Preferred. But from your perspective, what happens to the play calling when you're up by 3 touchdowns?
You know, you try to walk the fine line of continuing to put the foot on the gas, but also being conscious of how much time your defense is out on the field, right? We can't take shot after shot or throw the ball and be off the field 3 and out in 30 seconds and expect our defense to play 2/3 of that second half. So it certainly changes things. Bolte allows me, and we err on the side of continuing to be aggressive. But certainly want to have a little bit of run first physicality mentality in that and control the game. And we talk about always wanting to finish with the ball on our side. So finish games as an offensive unit and make sure it's in our hands.
Well, the start hasn't been the best. The first series, the first 2 games have not gone well. 3 and outs. I mean, I guess there wasn't a turnover at least, but that's not exactly how you draw it up in the week of practice.
No, it's not. As you mentioned, really we had at Sioux Falls 2 3 and outs to start that game. Something we need to continue to work on. And we take pride in kind of scripting our first 15 play calls, or openers as we call them, first and second down calls, and trying to give defenses different looks, feel out how they're going to play us. But we need to do a better job staying ahead of the chains on first down, 4 yards or more, and putting ourselves in a position to be in third and medium or less. And make that change sooner than later.
After your offense started going, though, on Saturday, there was a stretch of 8 drives where you scored 5 touchdowns. In those 8 drives, it didn't even eat up 14 minutes of clock. That's not even a quarter. 8 drives, 5 touchdowns, 14 minutes. And yet it doesn't seem like anybody is really in a hurry. How can you explain to, heck, even us, but the listeners too, what tempo is and what hurry up is?
Yeah, so we're no huddle up tempo. In practices, we try to snap plays off every 14 seconds even. So building conditioning into practice is part of that, but we want to put our foot on the gas. We want to not allow them to sub personnel so we can wear them down throughout a drive. And when the opportunity presents, go down the field with the football, you know? And even in the run game, that creates much bigger holes and explosive opportunities. But we pride ourselves on that. And we're not going to huddle until the bitter end of the game, and we need to. But our guys know we want to be quick strike. That doesn't mean we still need to maintain drives, which I think we've been able to prove up to this point, that we put together some pretty good chunk drives, you know, 12-play drives. But at any given time, we'll go down the field and expect that play call, boys, and go make the play.
And it's a 12-play drive that lasts 2.5 minutes. That is crazy.
I think Bolte and Bish might want it to last a little bit longer, but it's always exciting when they're that short.
Well, and that was like, I mean, that's like 9 plays, 90 yards in 2.5 minutes, and that was like one of your longest drives.
It is interesting.
You're moving down the field pretty quickly.
Yeah, we're all learning together, and every year your unit evolves at what they're good at. You know, you look past couple seasons, we've leaned heavy on the O-line and the experience we had there and pounding the ball physically. And as you look at our team now, what we can do with the ball, we're a little bit more zone-based in the run game, seems to be our success, and using a few more wide receivers to spread across the field. And anytime you put more speed on the field, I think the faster those drives go.
Wasn't that long ago, Carson, that a college offense would run, if they were really going fast, 55, 60 plays. I think you guys ran 85 last week. Is college football ever going back to the way it was?
I don't think so. I think they're also claiming that it's a safer style of football when you spread the field and vertical passing, things like that. There's not as heavy collisions in the box. And ultimately, it attracts fans when you're scoring points, right? So I don't think it will. If it does, the funny thing about football is it's cyclical. We may see double wing, single wing offenses make a comeback once everybody migrates to a lighter defense to cover these spread offenses.
I don't envy defensive coordinators right now. You guys get the fun job. You just get to draw plays all summer long, and they got to figure out a way to defend it. We're at the coaches' huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Beaver football team will host Augustana next week for homecoming. On the road this weekend at Minnesota State Mankato. More of the huddle when we come back. While we're away, we are giving away some tavern gift cards. You could be a winner. Just stop by the Tavern on South Shore every Wednesday night starting at 6 right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
All right, we've got some tavern gift cards.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Do the dew.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
Hi, Dan the Chevy Man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM Man here. Not only do we have a full line of Chevys, we have Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. Summer is here, and now is a great time to drive that vehicle you've been looking for. Along with our awesome new car and truck lineup, we have a super pre-owned inventory. And don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
The Beavers are back. The 2021-22 Bemidji State hockey season is just around the corner. And after a year with limited fans in the stands, we can't wait to hockey together again. Season tickets begin at just $275 and great tickets available in all locations and price levels. Purchase or renew yours now to ensure that you don't miss North Dakota, St. Cloud State, Minnesota Duluth, or the Beavers inaugural CCHA campaign. Skip the game day box office line. Save money and guarantee that you'll be there for every moment. Call Jackie at 441-4006 and get your season tickets today.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Schulte and Biz with you tonight. We're here every Wednesday night starting at 6. In past versions of this show, we went till 8 if we had anything to talk about or not. I've determined that wasn't such a good plan.
It's usually about an hour now.
So, we're going to go until we're done talking. Could be an hour, could be an hour and 15 minutes, could be 2 hours, we don't know.
Well,
we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We will.
When stuff starts overlapping, where we've got hockey going on at the same time as football, and
heck,
all these
we might
other
go
sports.
Two and a half if it's needed. Anywho, Beaver football team this weekend will travel to Minnesota State Mankato, take on the Mavericks. They were third in the preseason popularity contest known as a poll. The Beavers were not in there. The Mavericks lost last week to Duluth, 30-10, in the Saturday night game.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't really see that one coming either. Not necessarily that Duluth couldn't or wouldn't win, but I didn't necessarily see an almost three-touchdown win.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a lot closer. I mean, traditionally, those are the two powerhouses, but maybe that bodes well for the Beavs this weekend.
We will find out on Saturday. Carson Pike with us, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach of the Beavers. For longtime Beaver fans, it's been Minnesota State and Duluth. They've driven the ship. You guys, Sioux Falls has been in there the last couple of years. I think they've got 4 NCAA tournament appearances since they joined the NSIC, I think. You already beat them. If you beat Minnesota State on Saturday, can we see a shift of the top part of this league?
Yeah, potentially. It's still early, you know, and teams coming off of a season without football, and us included, are still figuring out how to play together within their units. You know, a lot of programs probably lost guys. We lost a few late that were going to come back seniors and just graduated and kind of moved on with life. So I think there was a lot of late shifting there, but yeah, the league's top to bottom pretty tough. Certainly the top tier is extremely tough. We've proven that in NCAA tournaments, whoever went. And that's part of the fun of it, is you recruit every year, no matter your win-loss record, and you can change things with bringing in talent, get the right group together. So we'll see. We're never looking past anybody, certainly. And the eye on the prize right now is the Mavericks and what we have to do to take care of them at 4 o'clock Saturday.
Well, with the last COVID year, it's pretty unpredictable, is it not, what teams are doing? Because they don't have a lot of, I mean, you could go back 2 years maybe, but, I mean, a lot has changed since you guys last played. There's 2 games now of film that they could, you know, Mankato could look at for you guys, and you could look at Mankato, but is that enough to really have an idea of what the team is going to be doing?
That's a great question. It's for me, it's a little uncomfortable. You know, going into Sioux Falls, they had a new defensive coordinator. They had done a lot of the similar things throughout the past few seasons. He'd been on staff, but you didn't really know what you're going to get until you show up, put the formations out there, and see what 2 years of tinkering had done for their defense. And similar with Wayne. You know, they brought in a whole new staff. Now the defensive coordinator was a holdover from the old one. You're just not 100% sure what you're going to get. And you have to have mentally tough kids to be able to go to the sideline, make those adjustments. Here's what we're getting this week, even though may have practiced other looks. But that's kind of the job of us as coaches, too, is commonly referred to as chasing ghosts. Trying to give looks that we haven't seen on tape, but we feel like we may get. Or getting the kids prepared for as much as you can and still playing fast and confident.
Last time the Beavers went down to Mankato, I believe, was 2017. BSU ran it down their throats. Crowd literally was leaving at halftime. It was brilliant to watch as a Beaver fan. But controlling the game, running the football, set the tone for the day. Can that happen again on Saturday?
Yeah, that's, you look at most college football games, NFL and games too, the teams that stop the run and run the ball usually win at a pretty high clip. So that always has to be in the forefront of your mind. You know, Coach Hine was slinging the rock back then, and he wasn't a bad one to have behind center either when you need a big play. But the roadmap to success or the win hasn't changed since the last time we went down there. We need to be physical up front. We need to control the line of scrimmage, stay out of the chains on first down. When we get our opportunities to take shots, we got to connect. And then where we need to improve is if we are able to take a pretty decent lead, put the team away. You know, break their will, both sides of the football physically and mentally, and shut the door on any opportunity for them to come back and hopefully have some fans leave at half.
Be honest, looking at the schedule, coming off of a year without football, and you're like, really? We've got to go to Sioux Falls. We've got to go to Mankato. And Augustana's coming to us. And Wayne's always a physical team. How daunting were you thinking this first month would be?
Yeah, we knew when we compare schedules across the conference, too, that we probably had the toughest, or at least top two in the conference. But to get the respect, to get to the result of a playoff team, we need to beat those teams. And why not put them all on one schedule, go out here, compete, and show the conference, show the rest of the nation that we're ready to arrive.
After the COVID year, you've got more players on the roster than ever before, it seems. The holdover seniors who got an extra year and two classes of incoming freshmen. From an offensive coach's perspective, I mean, obviously it's good to have depth, but how difficult is it for you to keep those, I guess, players engaged when you only have so many spots on the field?
Yeah. Honestly, it comes back to them. We preach that, hey, if you're not ready to play, then your opportunity is not going to present itself. And whatever role you may need it in usually starts with special teams and making an impact there. You can grow your role. And that's what you put on tape allows you to do that through our evaluations. So I think our guys have been great. If you look at the class that came in right before we shut down for COVID, they actually ended up with a huge benefit because typically they'd be running a scout team for our defense during the fall season, and then they only get 15 spring practices in the fall. The way it worked out, we get, I can't remember exactly how many practices we got in the spring, but something like 40, double what they would normally get. Those reps in our offense, running our plays, benefited greatly. I mean, you look like a guy like Bubba Peters, who had a little coming out party last weekend. You know, we saw those flashes all spring, and he was able to get a ton of quality reps and go earn his right to be on the field and play a major role for us. So I think it helped us. Even though it was awful sitting around watching college football and not being able to coach it.
That's funny. I was just going to ask you about Bubba. Number one, how did he get the nickname? Do you know?
So I actually asked him this today, and he's not 100% sure. It's been around as long as he can remember. Thinks it came from a cousin.
Okay. It was a great day to be a Bryce. Because Bryce Duffy had a whale of a day, too. how does that tight end slash slot receiver slash halfback slash whatever in the heck it is you want to call that position benefit your offense and stress a defense?
An incredible amount. Bryce Duffy being a Swiss Army knife for us, he can flex out, play a receiver position as well, you know, as anybody in the conference, step into the box, be extremely physical, create mismatch nightmares, especially in the red zone. Obviously, you see him featured down there a little bit from our offense because he's such a big body. And then he's as agile as a receiver. He's got hands like a receiver, but he'll thump you like a left tackle. So those guys are invaluable to the offense and the way we run it now. We don't have to switch personnel. We can get into empty. We can get into an 11 personnel set and run power. We can jump right back into a 10 personnel set and run pass game. So those guys really make us go. Marty was a little different a couple years ago, more of a thumper for us. But if we didn't have Marty, I don't know what we would have done 2 years ago.
For the listeners, Bryce Duffy is 6'3", 240.
That helps.
And can run like the wind, too.
He sure can.
He had two touchdowns, right? And the other Bryce had three?
Correct.
And meanwhile, the leading wide receiver was Bolio, right, who didn't have a touchdown but had 170-plus yards?
Yeah, almost two football fields there.
Yeah, so that's three wide receivers right there, and you've got more. I mean, you've got an arsenal to...
Yeah, we didn't have Malik last week. Little lower leg injury, and then we're not even talking about Dell yet and a few others that step in and play pretty important roles.
What about the running game? It seemed that obviously you've got a great quarterback and arsenal of receivers. That seemed to struggle, not necessarily struggle, but didn't get you a lot of big yardage gains. Was that a virtue of the defense of Wayne State, or I'm guessing you'd like to see a little bit more out of the running game.
Yeah, it's an area where we're looking to improve on, sure. And some of that is finding our identity. You know, we have Hoovy anchoring us, who's a six-year senior for us and played a lot of ball. Fuller got nicked up a little bit in the game last week. But then three guys who haven't played a ton for us. So that unit's finding their way. You know, it takes a lot of time, those five playing together. And when you look at Fuller being out for the first 2 weeks of fall camp with some COVID, along with our other tackle, Ty Cobb, they missed a lot of reps working together. And so every day they're improving, and I think you'll see that start to come together. But what I'm proud of is the backs didn't get upset by that. In fact, they kind of shine in the pass game. Both backs at about 100 yards or 100 yards plus all purpose. If you could tell me, no matter how we get two running backs over 100, that we're going to do that, I'll say take my chances we win that game.
How do you determine the rotation of which back is going to be in? Because it seems like there's one in for a handful of plays, and then you bring in a fresh guy.
Yeah, we try to, more than ever, I think, with building some depth on our unit and guys that are confident and playing well, we try to rotate more. And whether that's taking hits off guys or just running routes, keeping their legs fresh, being able to cycle in a two deep, three deep at some positions certainly saves us down the stretch of the games. And you can see that when other teams are wore out by our tempo, that we still have guys who've played 20, 30 reps and have some fresh legs compared to what they're facing.
As the offensive coordinator, how many coaches do you have underneath you? Offensive line coach, a wide receiver coach, how many or what types of coaches are helping you with the specific parts of the offense?
Yeah, so Coach Nissen coaches the O-line. Coach Hine coaches the receivers. Coach Labath coaches the tight ends, fullbacks. And then Coach Anderson coaches the running backs. So four guys and myself working on the offensive unit.
And are you calling the plays from on the sidelines, or do you like to be up above and radio the calls in?
I like to be in the booth. Obviously a great picture of what you're getting defensively up there. A little calmer, not so much angst or energy, I should say, on the sideline. Kind of remove yourself from some of that passion to hopefully make the correct call.
Not to mention the players coming up to you and telling you to give me the damn ball, right?
Yeah, everybody's always open. That's what I found out.
Yeah.
I was always that guy.
Yeah,
coach, I was wide open.
Throw me
Let's
a bomb.
Play
Every
again.
Play should be a bomb vertical down the field.
That sounds like some of our guys.
I was a 6 foot, 135-pound wide receiver. Played nine-man football on an 80-yard field, averaged 35 yards a catch.
That's pretty good.
But coach, throw me the ball. I digress. You mentioned the Augustana homecoming win earlier in this interview. One of the craziest finishes I think I will ever see. Do you remember what the play was to go for two?
I do.
For the listeners, can you tell us what that play is called?
It's actually got a pretty simple name. It's just called Tornado.
Well, that is completely deflating my question here. All right, what's the goofiest play name that you guys have? With formation and call the motion and everything that you're calling out to your quarterback.
Let's see here. I have to add a motion in there. Those get pretty interesting. So we'll go left plus flipper, Philly right rear force, Z dunk.
Break down what all of that part means. Not necessarily what the play is in case somebody's listening. But
so the plus is the formation, flipper being a motion, the Philly being a run play, a force telling the extra tight end where to go, and then we're tagging Z on a route on the run play if they give us the right look.
It's an awful lot for a quarterback to be comprehending and figuring out.
It's its own language.
And do they? Does he have one of those things on his wrist that you can refer to that you see so many players have for whatever reason?
Nope. It's all on signals. We have two signalers, one guy truly communicating what's going on, one guy's a fake, and they all got to see the signal, and then the only communication is between the quarterback and the O-line, and we run the play.
And there's nothing in the helmet, right? Like the NFL, they can talk to him, but there's nothing like that.
No, we're not that fancy.
All right.
BSU has had some really, really good quarterbacks in the last 15 or 20 years. Brandon Ault can, well, heck, Brent said it last week. He can surpass all of them. How's he stay within himself?
You know, as I mentioned before, he's matured a lot as an individual and leader of our team. And I think it's just his nature. You know, he wants to know more. He wants to know why I would call this. He'll give suggestions, too, and usually spot on with those suggestions on the headset on the sideline. And I think when you're playing with confidence, I call those plays because he feels good about it. Success rates go up. But you really haven't seen him talk about himself. He's not caught up in his own stats or looking at that. It's kind of that next game mentality that I think he's really grown into and really just hungry for, having not been able to play the last couple seasons.
Well, you know, part of, obviously, he's been hurt at the beginning of the 2018, 2019. It has been a couple of years. He's looked great, obviously. And you, as a former quarterback yourself, I mean, how does that play mentally when you've been injured like that? I would think that you just can't even worry about it in order to perform at the level that he's at.
Yeah, I think fortunately for him, he's got incredible arm talent, and he can get the ball out in several different arm angles extremely fast and extremely accurately. And that takes hits off him. Allows us to get five receivers free release into a route on the snap and not have to check protections. I think, and if he was honest, he'd probably tell us there's a little nerves going into the Sioux Falls game. And a couple times on film you could see, but I think he took a sack right before the second half, and that kind of was a turning point of, not that we were doing bad or he was at that point, but just, okay, that's football again, and I'm okay. And now it's time to go. And you saw it kind of crank up in that second half, and I think that kind of first hit needs to happen to some of those guys that haven't played in a while. Just kind of knock those cobwebs out and get you comfortable, and all right, let's play ball.
You're not directly involved with the defense, but you're in the meetings when all of you guys are together talking about game planning and that kind of stuff. How does your coaching staff feel your defense has played so far?
You know, we've been extremely banged up there. You look at our linebacking core, even losing a guy all the way back last spring. We've had to play a lot of guys, and guys had to step up. I think they played extremely well against the pass game. You know, we got the turnover last week, forced five fumbles, I think, now in the season, if not certainly four. So they're working hard. They're working hard to clean up. We're young there, too. You know, we've got a couple corners out there that are pretty young in the program. And so they're coming together as well. But they feel confident they're going to take the steps. I feel confident with the guys leading them, coaches leading them, that they're going to do what needs to be done and continue to get better every week.
In looking at Mankato, obviously they didn't do too well against Duluth. In just the two games that you've been able to watch, what concerns you about their defense?
So Mankato's always big up front, and that's their MO. They're going to be hard to move the line of scrimmage against. That's the kids they recruit and the way they coach them and the defensive structure they play. So I think our biggest task will be to get over that 200-yard mark in the rush game and make sure that we're physically putting it to them. We've got a few different schemes that I don't think they've seen before, and so we're going to pull those out for them. But I think that's probably the biggest concern. They're going to give us a lot of soft coverage, which I think plays well into our hands. We're going to be able to take advantage of that, get the ball in and out of Brandon's hands and get things rolling, get everybody confident and playing fast. So I'm excited. You know, a matchup like this is what you coach for. It's what you play for. To go stack up against one of the best teams in the not only the conference but the nation.
With Crookston shutting down their program, this is the last grass field in the league, right?
I believe so.
How does that change the game?
Hopefully not at all. I think it's probably one of the best grass fields in the Midwest, so that helps. But it's not
the Vikings aren't paying anything for them to repair it all the time anymore.
Well, maybe that's true. We'll go. It's early in the season at least. And it's definitely not Crookston, like the Mud Bowl
Like
2 years ago.
So, were you here when it was grass at the Chet?
I was when I was GAing, yeah.
Yeah.
And the trees in the end zone.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was a good environment.
Got to have a greater appreciation for the turf after all the bad weather and the Lumberjack games. And didn't the thing have like a dome?
It had pretty good curvature.
Yeah.
After about week five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty happy to have turf now.
What was the atmosphere like for your players last Saturday?
I think it was great. We had an incredible student showing. They were feeding off of it. You could see the motions, the third downs. Heard the chainsaw make a revival. I don't think we got that last season for third downs, but they were extremely proud to put their best effort in front of a bunch of students who were hungry for college athletics as well. And so hopefully we feed off that both as a student base and a team and carry that forward.
Did it feel like it was a normal home game?
It felt a little bigger, to be honest, just all the time waiting to get there, waiting to show the hometown the product that we have. And so I felt like it was a little bigger than normal.
It's always nice to win on those days.
always
nice to win anyway. Carson, thanks for joining us. Best of luck this Saturday.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.
Carson Pike, offensive coordinator of the Beaver football team, with us here tonight on the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on South Shore. This offense can put up points, my friends. A lot of points.
Man, they're entertaining to watch. Took them a little while to get jump-started on Saturday, but once they did, man. Very entertaining.
They scored
football.
Five touchdowns in the span of eight drives.
And the longest one was like 9 plays, 2.5 minutes.
Yes.
Quick striking and lots of weapons. You never know where the... I wouldn't want to be Mankato's defensive coordinator trying to figure out what to do to stop all the different players on the offense. But they're going to be fun.
To their benefit, the travel roster is limited.
True.
But all those weapons are going to be there.
Well, I mean, you got 8, 9, 10 people that you listed that we could say all contributed last week, and, you know, they're spreading the ball around, and that makes it tough. So, again, you know, we've done this long enough. There seems to be one or two of these games every year that have been the Achilles tendon of this program. If they can win on Saturday, that gets one of them out of the way.
I have... My first game in this job was in Mankato. Tyler Olson as a true freshman.
That's right. And
ran for four touchdowns and caught one touchdown. And BSU won, and I'm like, wow, this is the way college football is always like. And then I've been to some other games against Mankato here and there where you're like, oh, this clock cannot hit zero fast enough. I honestly have no idea what end of the spectrum we're going to be on Saturday.
Well, and you know, because of the off year, you don't know what you're going to see. But Mankato hasn't been as formidable as far as being able to be beaten as Duluth. So
Northern took them to overtime in week one. Northern's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to Duluth. Now, I asked the question to Carson about, you're looking at the first month of your schedule. What are you thinking? Mankato's thinking the same thing. Really? We've got a good Northern team. We got Duluth and the Beavers.
Yeah.
Should be a great one. Our pregame Budweiser pregame show on Saturday starts at 3:30. The kickoff scheduled for 4 bells. We'll take a break. We'll shift gears, talk a little Beaver soccer. That's when we come back. It's the Coach's Huddle at the Tavern on South Shore, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
There will be stages in life that cause you to pause, reflect, and maybe move in a new direction. With Thrivent Financial, you don't have to face those times alone. Our financial professionals apply their faith, passion, and expertise to guide Christians to be wise with money, offering life insurance, retirement, college planning options, and more. The Alan Zutz Financial Group can help you craft a plan around your goals and values. Call Alan, Sandra, Connor, or Rice at 444-0202.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. That also happens to have delicious meats and fresh veggies all sandwiched between fresh baked bread. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order, pickup, or delivery on the app.
Jimmy John's new Chicken Caesar Wrap with seasoned chicken, crisp veggies, Caesar dressing, and crunchy croutons. It's the best salad you've ever had sandwiched into a wrap.
Woo!
New summer wraps for a limited time at Jimmy John's. The sandwich of, no, the wrap of sandwiches.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now, you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Pursue your passions at Bemidji State University. The drive to acquire deeper knowledge and develop greater wisdom is already in your nature. Can Minnesota's premier Northwoods University help you make the world a better place than you found it? Find out. Learn more at bemidjistate.edu or call 218-755-2040. That's 218-755-2040 and schedule your tour today.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Beaver soccer team will open up Northern Sun Conference play this weekend on the road. Northern and Moorhead. Joined by head coach Jim Stone, off to a 3-0 start. Jim, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
We started with the game at North Dakota. It's always been a good early test for you guys. I mean, they're Division I for a reason. You scored two goals real, real late. How do you like how your team fought, battled, and every other sports cliche you can come up with late in that game?
I mean, obviously it was fun to be a part of, and
and to take in. And I think the great part to kind of see from a coaching standpoint was just that as the game built, I felt like we got better and better. So that was, you know, that was a great thing to see that you know, that our fitness was at a pretty good level at that point in the season, and hopefully it kind of gave a little bit of a picture into the rest of our season here.
And this past weekend, you hosted Northern and Michigan Tech, two teams from the region. There aren't many teams in the region outside of the Northern Sun Conference, it seems, that are a close drive, easy for you guys to play every year in a non-conference. How do those two teams in particular this year help prepare you for what's to come?
I think they prepare us extremely well. I mean, both teams were very physical. Pressured the ball extremely well. I mean, Michigan Tech on Friday just pressured us about as well as we've ever been pressured. You kind of saw some of the results against some of our, you know, NSIC colleagues. So, in terms of, you know, forcing us to play at a high tempo and a high speed and making us defend and making us work hard to try to create scoring opportunities. And I think they prepared us about as well as any two teams could.
There isn't too much that Allie Smith does that is going to surprise you anymore. But yet, two goals on Friday, two assists out of the three goals on Sunday. Does her consistency at this point finally surprise you and say, man, she just does this every single night?
Yeah, I think, you know, the consistency piece that you're talking, I think it, you know, it's attributed to her work rate. And for sure, that's the one consistent piece that's always there with Allie. And then, you know, when you look at how talented she is, that usually ends up translating to a pretty high level of performance. And I think the great thing and the scary thing is I think she's at a higher level right now than she was a couple of years ago.
I think dangerous for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I think she's better technically. I think she's better physically. I think she's better mentally. And the second goal she scored against Michigan Tech was like as a professional level goal. I mean, you just don't see that goal happen too often. It's one of the better goals I've ever seen. So she's fun to watch.
You were talking with Kelly in the post game on Sunday about Maggie Cade and some of the technological pieces that you guys are able to utilize in practice to kind of gauge who's putting in miles and who's doing what. And can you just talk about how that part of coaching has changed and how you guys can utilize that kind of information to your benefit?
Yeah, you know, with technology, it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's supposed to make our life easier. But as you know, it adds to our workload. But at the end of the day, it is a great thing. I mean, I can give you a couple different examples. So like on our GPS and our heart trackers, it's able to track 2D load, which is like horizontal stresses. So like if you're running to your right and you quick take a step to your left, it's going to measure kind of that impact. It also measures horizontal load, so like jumping and landing. And then as it kind of puts those two worlds together, you know, it kicks out different numbers and it contrasts them with where you've been in the past. And so it starts to give some insight or hints that, hey, this person may be increasing their chances for like a soft tissue injury. They need some rest. Like you spoke to the total miles, it can track how many miles you put in your last 7 days. That was always coming up for us. So we know, hey, this person's they put in 19.23 miles. They play best when maybe they're more like around 17. That's when they're fresh. And so there's a lot of different stuff that, you know, we can look at. And I think the biggest thing is that, you know, it hopefully keeps them more safe. And then there's also, you know, an athletic benefit from it too. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, they have, there's like a heat chart you can even look at. So you can look, we'll pull up a map of the Chet, right? And it'll show where they were during those 90 minutes of their game. So you could look and be like, hey, you're hanging out in this left flank a lot. We need you to get more central. There's just so many different nuances with it, and we're really excited about the product.
Long and the short of it is players had to put in the work in the offseason, and you can now see it coming to fruition now. When you're able to give a player hard data, does that reinforce the need to be working in the summer?
For sure. You know, they're going to know if they're fit and how fit they are compared to their peers. And I think even from a team unity chemistry standpoint, you know, so like, for example, on Mondays are a recovery day for some players, but players who didn't get a lot of minutes, it's a fitness day. So we kind of have two contrasting things going on. And, you know, in the past, you'd maybe have, you know, player, hey, you know, why is she not doing this? You know, she's one of the favorites. Where now, you know, we pull up the data and they're like, okay, this makes sense. I understand now why coach is wanting me to go through the sprint workout. I need to stay fit and to put in the mileage and the load that these other kids got during the game so that I can stay fit during the season in case I'm needed.
All right, let's talk about the overtime winner then on Sunday. I don't know how many casual soccer fans would be expecting a set-piece header out of that play from that far away. That's your style of game, though, isn't it?
You know, it is when Sarah's in the game. You know, I think we have, because of Sarah, I think we have an incredible diversity to our game. I think we can connect and, you know, play some kind of tighter combination play. I think we have the speed, you know, with Allie and Mason and Breffel and Mariah to kind of get behind back lines. And at the same time, we can just kind of throw a ball up in the air and tell Sarah to go find it.
For those that didn't see it or hear it, the ball was beyond the 50-yard line of the football field with, I don't know, half of overtime left, so about 4 or 5 minutes. And she just puts a ball right into the goal box, header, game over, within the blink of an eye. There are so many moving parts there. How often is that particular kind of play worked on? Is it just two players who know each other so well that it just happens?
Well, I'm hoping that Bolte didn't see, because he's probably going to want Dahl to go out and kick for him, because she did smack that ball and she really can hammer a ball. So, we work on that stuff, but I mean, I think more or less, you know, when Megan's approaching that ball, she's trying to put it into a good spot. And Sarah knows the spot that she's kind of trying to put it in, and she's trying to be first to that spot. And she just has an uncanny ability to measure the ball up in the air. It's like a really good center fielder in baseball or whatever. I don't know whatever analogy you want to use, but she can measure it and time it out her jump. And it's an incredible weapon in our game.
Last year was a terrible year for everybody involved. How did your team make the best of it for this year?
I think the best thing from last year that's paying dividends now is just normally in the course of our 9-month school year, you know, there's so much focus on getting results. You know, we need to win this game, and what do we need to do to prepare for this game? Whereas last year, no, that wasn't present. So the focus could really be on development. And I feel like a lot of players took a step forward skill-wise because we were able to train so much, and we didn't have to put the focus on big picture things. You know, we could get a lot of ball work in, and we did. So I feel like that was the greatest fruit that came from last season in terms of soccer stuff.
I say this almost every fall. Where you've brought this program when you started until now is hard to fathom. How much does your success, though, start breeding on the last couple of years' success? And recruiting then obviously takes another step forward, and expectations take a step forward. And all of a sudden the program is making itself better.
Yeah, success breeds success, and obviously that's, you know, credit to our past players here. Kind of, you know, all the different players are kind of standing on each other's shoulders here as we've kind of built this thing. So, you know, credit to our alumni and credit to God for blessing us just with some great kids here. But yeah, I think you're right. And obviously you still have to put the work in and grind away. But, you know, you end up in conversations with the recruits that in the past you wouldn't have been able to get on the phone with them. You know, they wouldn't have returned the email. They wouldn't have returned the text. Their club coach wouldn't have pushed it at all. Their club coach wouldn't have said, hey, you know, I know you have some Division I opportunities, but I think you should, you know, hear this coach out. So those doors have been open to us. And again, it's, you know, it's just credit to our alums who made things happen here.
Northern and MSU Moorhead this weekend, what kind of games are you expecting?
Well, I think, you know, both coaches do a great job of organizing their teams. I think both teams can make it difficult to score. You know, the Friday night game's a little bit unique, and, you know, you're playing under that lights, and there's some adrenaline, and, you know, maybe they're going to have a nice crowd there, and they're going to, you know, I think they're going to be excited to play, and, you know, I think we have to be ready to match that. You know, I think the games this weekend will be different in a sense that maybe there won't be as much of a push, and maybe we're going to have to break down more of a block defense potentially. So it's going to – the games could potentially present a different type of challenge for us. But every league game is challenging. There's 3 points on the line for each game, and – yeah, we'll be excited to get into NSIC play.
Does Moorhead still have that grass soccer field that's an option adjacent to the football field?
It is, yes. Yes, it is a natural grass field. And
what kind of challenges does that provide you?
It can be extremely challenging, you know, depending on the time of the year, depending on what condition of the field it is. You know, the last time we played them, and all credit to them, not taking any credit away from them, but, you know, the field was pretty bumpy, and I remember in warm-up discussing, hey, do we just kind of play more direct and not really try to pass the ball, but bypass our midfield and play long and just lop some balls into the 18, and we chose to kind of try to play, and we remember one time one of our center back made a pass out to our right back, Emily Kosh, and she stuck her foot out to receive it, and it kind of bumped along and popped right over her foot out of bounds, and you're like, oh boy, this could be a long one today. So, yeah, I mean, when you're playing an outdoor sport, you know, it could be a sideways wind and rain, and you just never know how the elements are going to affect the game, and you have to be prepared for it. And obviously both teams have to deal with it, so no excuses. We just have to be ready for whatever challenge that brings.
One kind of big picture question for you. U.S. women's national team, that core group from, you know, the really, really dominant years is starting to exit that team. What have they done for that program and college programs trickling all the way down to youth programs who, I want to be Megan Rapinoe. I want to play soccer.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of like I described the progression in our program, the development that took place in our program, you know, I think I see a similar one on the U.S. national team. You know, you had kind of that first group, the 99ers, and, you know, they weren't paid well. They weren't, you know, they didn't, just like the technology we talked about, all the bells and whistles, that group didn't have it. They were, you know, but they found a way to be successful and win. And then this group was kind of able to kind of step on their shoulders. And I think what one of the things that this group was able to do was to really create a market for women's soccer. You know, the professional opportunities are so much greater than they were before this group. And this group was able to sell out stadiums. And really make people think about, you know, women's sports in general, but particularly soccer, and maybe get some kind of rich people to think about, hey, you know, maybe I could make a buck if I had a women's pro team. So, you know, I just really hope those pro opportunities continue to grow. I think being a Division II coach, you know, I see, you know, you see Gunner, right, on the Patriots for football. And we know in the men's game that development happens at different stages and different ages. So you'll see a Chris Wondolowski on the men's side, you know, played Division II in college and ended up in a World Cup. And I'd love for, you know, our women to be able to have that opportunity. So for me, the biggest thing that came from this group is just the more pro opportunities, more advancement in terms of getting viewership and people taking notice of our sport.
Best of luck this weekend, Jim.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We got more here from the Coaches Huddle at the Tavern on South Shore on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
For both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair, choose Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji and now open in Grand Rapids. We can help with hardware or software problems, spill damage, screen replacement, virus removal, or the accessories you need. And we're open Monday through Friday from 7:30 until 5:30. For service on your Apple product or PC repair, come to Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's certified Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids.
The Green Mill in Bemidji is hiring. Multiple kitchen positions with line cooks starting at $15 minimum with no experience needed. Also hiring servers and banquet positions with full-time, part-time, and seasonal positions available to fit your schedule. Benefits include paid vacation, IRA match, meal discounts, and more. The Green Mill is an equal opportunity employer offering a great work atmosphere with friendly staff and management. Start your new career today and apply online at greenmill.com/careers or stop by the Green Mill in Bemidji for an application.
Great players know all about using energy wisely. Ottertail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University Beavers men's and women's athletics for bringing its energy to the fans listening to live game coverage on the Beaver Radio Network. Teamwork and dedication have brought many rewards over the years. And Ottertail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
Ooh, that kickoff headed way out of bounds. Well, that just turned into a penalty for somebody's vehicle. Well, while the refs are trying to figure out that play, let's call Chandler's Detail Plus and Auto Glass to fix that windshield. Detail Plus works with all insurance companies, and with any windshield replacement, they'll give you a free mini car detail. Now that's a plus. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Well, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Beaver volleyball team is at home this weekend. They will play Southwest and Upper Iowa, I believe it is, this Friday and Saturday. The Beaver soccer team heads to Aberdeen and to Moorhead. Beaver football travels to Minnesota State Mankato. 3:30 with our Budweiser pregame show. Kickoff at 4. Info online at BeaverRadioNetwork.com.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.